the demilitarized zone to try to pave the way for a North Korean delegation to join the Winter Games. I'm Charles Soledesma.
Turkey's president denounced U.S. plans to form a 30,000-strong Kurdish-led border security force in Syria, vowing to drown this army of terror before it's born. President Erdogan also warned U.S. troops against coming between Turkish troops and Kurdish forces. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and you are listening to Radio Wasteland, the greatest break in news and conservative talk radio out there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I am your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my host of hosts. You're my Andy Richter, my Ed McMahon, Sean.
Yes, the other host.
Yeah, the other host. You're my Andy Richter.
I don't know who Andy Richter is.
Andy Richter was Conan O'Brien's sidekick.
Oh, okay. I don't watch TV, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you're a step above Ed McMahon. Ed McMahon would just kind of laugh at Johnny Carson's jokes.
That's fair. Well, yeah. Sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah, I don't have that many jokes.
I mean, what I do is I challenge your opinion and deconstruct everything you say,
totally.
On the air.
Right, because I'm so focused in my opinions.
Yeah, that's true. You're so laid back. It's not as satisfying, honestly.
I am like the world's laziest nihilist. Like, I really believe in nothing, but I'm so lazy, I'm not really all that self-destructive.
So you've never, stolen a rug from someone? Or,
yeah, every time is micturated upon in this fair city.
Yeah. Well, I imagine you would be the police's first stop.
We've seen
the Big Lebowski. We know what you're up to.
Yeah. I did decide to stop cutting my hair because I just can't handle it.
That's fair.
I'm not like into having long hair. I just hate going to get a haircut. They're never open. They always have we'll be back in an hour. And I drove down the street to get here. I'm taking a break from work and you'll be back in an hour.
I, too, hate haircuts, actually.
What kind of barbershop is closed during the lunch break?
I don't know.
What is up with that?
I always, because I'm poor, I go to the cheapest available barber, which in my case is Great Clips.
Great Clips, not Super Clips?
No, they're okay. Just,
yeah. Mediocre Clips.
I think the marketing people were like, can we change it from Average Clips to Great Clips? Let's have a little self-respect here.
Am I going to get sued if I talk smack about a business?
I don't know.
Okay, so I got my hair cut at Sport Clips.
Okay.
And,
that sounds like it's probably in the same league.
Well, it's like totally like geared towards men and stuff like that. And like, so they like give you a head massage and talk about how good you look and stuff like that. And like, I feel very pandered to when I'm in there. They're like giving me a haircut. The girl who's giving me a haircut, the girl next to her who's giving somebody else a haircut, like, looks over at me and they're all, you look really good. Your wife is going to be really happy. And I'm, like, sitting there going, like, you're a liar.
Yeah.
You know?
My ideal barbershop would be full of, like, surly people dressed in 1920s style, like, mobster garb with dark glasses, and they don't say a word. You just come in. And you don't even tell them what you want. They just sit you down, they cut your hair, and then you leave.
Right.
That would be the ideal for me.
Sort of like a cross between Edward Scissorhands and David Lynch. You're not really sure what you're going to get. You're just hoping for the best.
Right. You know,
a dark room full of seven of the shadiest characters you've ever seen.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, no mirrors.
Totally.
Mirrors are for jerks.
Yeah,
so.
Totally. An 18-year-old cheerleader in the corner eating a bucket of barbecue chicken. just something weird. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't like to be talked to when I'm getting my hair cut. It bugs me.
Yeah.
So.
No, I feel you.
I want someone with a bad attitude who's totally antisocial cutting my hair.
Oh, I should become a barber. I got to say, so with our guest in this situation, I personally this is kind of a combo, has been put together in a brain soup for me. I am feeling very vulnerable and very conflicted.
How so?
For the past 2 months, I have been battling the fact that my phone is dying.
Okay.
And it's really starting to affect my business because I'm just so irritated at the fact that I finally paid off my phone and it, like, immediately started dying.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've changed out the battery, it's not working, blah, 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 all this stuff. So I got to go buy a new phone tomorrow. And so I'm feeling, like, very vulnerable that, like, stuff's going on and where's my phone?
I see. Well, it is like missing a limb, honestly. Except most of your limbs. Like, if someone lopped off your arm, you could still go to work.
Not that day.
Yeah, probably not that day. You know, unless you were... I don't know, it depends. But probably not, right?
Well, I'm feeling conflicted because our guest tonight is Mike DeMonte, and he wrote a book called Punk Rock and UFOs, with, you know, talking
right
about
up your alley,
parallels of punk rock and UFOs, because I kind of grew up into punk rock, and my lack of my phone and my vulnerability over my lack of phone makes me hearken back to young Chauncey, who probably thinks I am a total idiot for feeling so vulnerable that my phone is gone. You know, young Chauncey would have a lot of expletives and insults to say to me about the loss of my DIY life.
Interesting. If there was ever a compelling argument to build a time machine, it's that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see you both in the same room, and I'd also kill Hitler or whatever.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know.
Two reasons for a time machine, everybody knows. One is Chauncey meeting young Chauncey.
Right, and
the other is you killing Hitler.
That's pretty much the rule of time machines. If you have one, you kill him. That's just what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I wonder if anybody, you know, they've written a fair amount of science fiction about what the world would be like if Hitler had won.
Right.
But nobody, I mean, has there been anything about what the world would be like if
he died young or
killed.
Something. Yeah, you know, honestly, being somewhat acquainted with the period, I tend to believe that, you know, Germany was full of angry war vets who were really upset with the rest of Europe and had anti-Semitic views and hated the current government that had, you know, sought a truce during the war that was destroying everything. You know, I think there would have been another Hitler, is basically what I'm saying.
I agree. Their economy was absolutely destroyed.
On the other hand, with World War One, I mean, the guy who shot Franz Ferdinand, that was a crazy series of circumstances that led to that. So, no, that guy, whose name I don't remember, who knows that guy's name? I don't.
Must have been important.
But seriously, no, if you take him out of the picture, you don't get World War One for, I don't know, at least another 10 years, I'd think.
Yeah.
And that changes everything.
Well, somebody call the folks at Black Mirror and say, what the heck, man? Why don't we know what happens if Hitler was killed?
Yeah. Well, they only do sad alternate history.
Sad alternate history? Well, my buddy John, he lived in China for 5 years teaching English to the Chinese. Mm-hmm. And we have a music show, and we, you know, play a lot of music and history of music. And one thing that John pointed out to me is, I'm just also, are there, like, punk bands? Are there, like underground music scene going on there in China? He's all, no. And I'm all, really? There's nothing? He's all, yeah, there's nothing. And it's I'm all, that's not possible. He's all, you have to remember. Lots of other countries had what America had, but in China, there was no cultural revolution.
Hmm.
You know? That's basically, pop culture just hit them. They didn't have a cultural revolution prior to pop culture hitting them. So, like, they're, like, way into K-pop, like, on a national level, which is, like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. If you're a music fan, I don't know. Anybody out there who knows what K-pop is, surely you're either cursing me right now or you're going, yeah, I totally know what he's talking about. That's terrible.
Yeah. Look, I have to seize my credibility for a moment. There is totally a popular work of fiction, the Red Alert series. It's a series of computer games, and the whole plot is that Einstein goes back and kills Hitler, but then Russia basically becomes the new Germany and takes over Europe.
I'll have to check it. All right, when we come back, we got our guest, Mike DeMonte. We're talking about punk rock and UFOs, talking about the parallels between the two scenes. Come on back. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. We'll be right back.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Come join Bob and Chick Miller of Bella Vista Farms Animal Sanctuary the evening of March 16th at the Wind River Event Center for their annual fundraising dinner and auction. It'll be a wonderful evening of fun, great food, entertainment, and a fantastic auction. 100% of money raised goes to the care and feeding of abandoned and abused animals that call the farm their forever home. Some of the great items to be auctioned off include 9 nights of luxurious accommodations at the St. James Club and villas on Antigua for up to 6 people, a 6-night South African photo safari for 2, and 10 nights at the Club Barbados Resort and Spa for up to 6 people. So get your tickets today at any Reading or Anderson VCA Animal Clinic, online at bellavistafarm.org, or give Chick a call at 347-0544. Get $5 off if you purchase your tickets by February 28th. And remember, it's all about the animals.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The View, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Mike DeMonte, and we're talking about his book, Punk Rock and UFOs. Mike, we got you there with you? With us?
Yeah.
With me?
Very good choice of music to lead in.
I always pick the music, and I picked a lot of punk rock songs about aliens and UFOs, frankly.
Cool.
The reason why I'm really kind of excited to have you on the show is because I grew up as what I would label a punk rocker, although I feel that there are ultimately two types of punk rockers. There are the nihilistic, destroy-thing ones, and there are the DIY ones. You know,
I cannot tell which one you are.
I was a DIY guy.
See, you're confused.
I'm a nihilist now. You know, but there was always that guy with the mohawk who was carrying around a 12-pack of Keystone Light at the party, you know, and wouldn't share a beer with anybody.
I see.
Yeah, no, I was probably the more DIY guy.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, that was probably more me. Or the guy in just jeans and a plain colored t-shirt, and you couldn't tell what music he liked.
Right, right.
So that's probably more me.
Right, dressing more like a Ramon than like a Sex
Pistols. Yeah, there you go.
Right. Yeah. All right. So, you know, your book topic is really interesting. So can you explain the premise of Punk Rock and UFOs? I mean, I realize that it's kind of a cut and dry title, but it's two things normally people wouldn't put together. Can you explain to us the premise of your book?
Yeah. So the title itself is a great conversation starter just because people hear that and they're automatically think, well, how do these two things go together? And I always tell them, don't think about punk rock in the musical sense, but think about it more in the rebellious nature of kind of what it is. And, you know, people who are involved in punk rock music or the punk rock scene, there's definitely this underdog mentality that goes with it. And cryptozoology and, you know, study of ufology is definitely an underdog science as well. So it's kind of, that's the kind of the approach to the book. And it looks at cryptozoology as underdog science, challenging most of our belief systems, what we choose to believe, what we choose not to. And, yeah, that's kind of the best way to describe how those two worlds that you wouldn't think would fit together go together.
So it's like a guerrilla paranormal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree with you. You know, our show here is very DIY, and we're all about paranormal. We do the websites. We do everything, you know, and we do it because we love it and because we're interested in it, not because there's a paycheck in it, which I feel was very much the case with punk bands, at least up until the 90s.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I assume that the major parallel that you're pulling between these two is sort of the rebellion of the norm, the rebellion of what the world views as the status quo.
Yes. I think that was definitely one of the things I hit early on in the book is just kind of, you know, what we choose, our process of belief, what we choose to accept as a norm and what we choose to rebel against. And basically anything that kind of goes against those norms of what we are told to believe, it's automatically kind of, what I'm looking for. You're automatically an outsider, an underdog. You know, just for what you believe, if something outside the mainstream or something not readily accepted by everyone, it's not necessarily vilified, but you know, it's definitely, shown in a different light. So, you know, if you tell people, hey, look, I believe in Bigfoot or I believe in aliens, you know, if that goes against someone's previous belief system, right, that's where you kind of get that clash that comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a very loyal subculture, although, you know, there are clashing groups within it. But
yeah, UFOs are very, very factional as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, I used to put on punk shows here in my hometown. And when I did it, there was so small of a scene that we would put on shows when there'd be an acoustic act and then some sort of ska band and then a punk band and then something virgin on metal, where, like in other towns, there might be those separate scenes, but in this small town, we have no choice but to band together. And I kind of feel the paranormal community has to do that as well.
Yeah, that's actually a really good parallel. And, you know, like kind of those shows you described, sometimes that's the best show. When you go to a show and there's four different bands on the bill and they all, you know, kind of all in the same umbrella, that makes for a good show. And, you know, you kind of talk about the study of, you know, cryptozoology and ufology and how it all falls under the same umbrella too. You know, people who believe in the Loch Ness Monster probably believe in Bigfoot, probably believe in UFOs. So it all falls under the same umbrella. So I definitely think in doing so, in investigating every facet of cryptozoology and the unexplained and the unknown, you're kind of just more well-versed in it.
Yeah. Well, we've definitely seen that on our show, haven't we? I mean, we've seen, you know, plenty of psychics who we've asked, hey, have you ever, like, psychically met an alien? And most of them are like, oh, yeah, that's a thing. So,
yeah, that's one that definitely threw me off.
Yeah, well,
know, I was not expecting that answer. But,
right, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of synthesis among...
Yeah, yeah, and then you get some of these guys that, you know, maybe come across as crazy. I don't want to use that word because Richard Hoagland is one of my favorite, but he ties together just about everything into one grand unified theory of paranormalness.
Yeah.
So it's hard because you want to be open-minded with that stuff, but I think some of it also muddies some of the serious research as well. So it's a really, you know, with this stuff, it's a really fine line because, you know, you want to be open-minded, you know, to all the possibilities that are out there. But, you know, if you're trying to study, you know, say UFOs and you kind of mix it in with something paranormal or something about shape-shifting beasts, then it gets kind of weird. So it's like, you know, it's hard to maintain this level of open-mindedness while at the same time, giving some of the more fringe elements, you know, credibility. So, yeah, it's a really fine line you have to try to draw, you know, between being open-minded and, you know, letting everything in.
Right, and the world has this way of kind of writing it off to the side, and they have this, you know,
these snickers and these jokes that go with it. You know, recently in the news, we had the Air Force pilots talking about their sightings and stuff like that. And the newscasters were making these parallels to these more fringe, less plausible ideas and sort of doing their snickers kind of like, I couldn't really tell if it was like a premeditated slap down or if it was just kind of a social one that happens naturally.
Well, in terms of the coverage, well, I think for the most part, I mean, the coverage of the U.S. Nimitz footage that was released recently, I was really surprised to see, well, not that many outlets pick it up, but just it was taken seriously in most cases. I haven't seen the one you're commenting on, but I was really surprised that, you know, because I was getting phone calls to be on TV shows in Texas to talk about it. So that was really cool as well to speak on it, and the way they treated me with respect too.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that it was definitely way better received than it has been in the past.
Yeah, it seemed like there was a fairly sober analysis in most of the mainstream, you know, reports that I saw. I'm thinking mainly of the unveiling of the government program to study UFOs and all that, but like the Washington Post original article and stuff wasn't skeptical or snickering or any of the other things you'd kind of expect it to be.
Yeah, the initial story, I actually interviewed the journalist, one of the journalists, Ralph Blumenthal from the New York Daily Times. The New York Daily Times, I just goofed that up, from the New York Times. he helped write that story. And I just kind of, you know, interviewed him about how he vetted the source and, you know, kind of used journalistic procedures. And, you know, he's believed in UFOs for a while, but, even taking such a big story, you know, for him to take it seriously, he has to do his homework because the credibility of himself and, you know, his organization was on the line.
Yeah, so I'm sure there was some fear tying his professional life to this level of interest.
I mean, the credibility of the entire movement, honestly.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it hasn't gotten this kind of exposure in, you know, mainstream media for a while, I'm pretty sure.
You know, the thing I found most shocking about that report was, in the end, the report concluded with the fact that the government stopped doing it because they had better places to allocate the money, not because they found nothing.
Yeah.
Normally in the past, they would say, oh, and we figured it out, and it was nothing. It was just a big waste of our time. That's how they'd say it. But in this time, they didn't say that. And I know it was kind of a subtle part, but yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, no, I think they're saying that because they know more than they're leading on, obviously. You know, I think this is just the beginning. It's not going to be full disclosure or anywhere close to it, but I think it's just going to be a slow disclosure. Not even full, just a slow, you know, just enough to kind of satisfy our needs for, you know, this footage and these confirmations of stuff that a lot of us kind of already know that's been going on, you know, but just kind of get the official, okay, here's this program. I think that's a good first step in the right direction. But I just think in the next couple of months it's going to be interesting to see what else comes out from it as well.
Yeah, I feel that we will not see that the beginning of any sort of disclosure will probably start with the discovery of microbial life beyond Earth. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to kind of ease us in there.
Well, I believe they've been easing us into this since for years, early Hollywood with all the alien invasion films and, you know, even films, not the non-invasion films like E.T. or It's a Friendly Alien, you know, through Hollywood, it's been a slow, it's been a very slow disclosure. And one of the points I'm making in the follow-up book I'm working on right now is that disclosure really doesn't mean anything if the mainstream public doesn't care. So unless there's a UFO crashes on the White House lawn on live TV, you know, it's really hard to gauge the public's interest. But, you know, like I said, with what's been in the news recently, I think it's a pretty good direction because a lot of people were interested in it, especially with all that's going on at the same time. So for, you know, that story to make major headlines with the sort of situation in North Korea and everything that's happening here, I thought that was pretty telling.
Yeah.
That the UFO story made such huge news.
Well, we're coming up on a commercial break here, but I totally agree with you. The public is not going to care until Klaatu lands on the White House lawn. All right. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with our guest, Mike DeMonte. Come on back. I don't know.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie-cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
We're Billy and Patrick for Redding Kia. We both own Kias and we love them. I personally am driving a brand new 2018 Kia Niro, the highest ranked small SUV in initial quality in 2017, and I am impressed. My gas mileage is crazy good. It has an EPA rated 51 miles per gallon city. Redding Kia has 36 Niros in stock and on the way, and all come with a complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotations. Buy or lease a new Kia from Redding Kia and you'll never pay for an oil change for as long as you own your car. That saves a lot of money. And have you seen the new 2018 Kia Stinger GT? It packs 365 horsepower with the available twin-turbo six-cylinder. The performance is mind-blowing. No wonder Stinger is a finalist for the North American Car of the Year. This is the car everyone's talking about, so see the Stinger today at Redding Kia and be ready to drive it home. Great cars, big savings, America's best new car warranty. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Redding Kia, Cypress Avenue, reddingkia.com.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Redding or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, January 19th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
The name says it all. Veterans Diesel and Auto. When it comes to keeping your wheels rolling, you can depend on Justin to give you quality, guaranteed work. Customers on Yelp praise Veterans Diesel and Auto, saying it's excellent, honest, and fair repairs. Now, veterans, you can also receive an additional 10% off all labor costs on any car or truck repair. Veterans Diesel and Auto Repair, 5246 West Side Road. Look them up online by searching Veterans Diesel Redding, a veteran-owned local small business.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
I want to know, how long are you all going to be on Earth, and if you can go back to Venus, are you going back?
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Mike DeMonte, author of Punk Rock and UFOs. I'm going to start this out with a punk rock joke. And that is,
okay.
How many punk rockers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I know this. It's like none. I forgot the punchline. There's another good one, too. There's like, how many emo kids does it take to screw in a light bulb? And it's like none because they're all crying listening to Dashboard Confessional in the dark.
I like that. Mine is, how many punk rockers does it take to screw in a light bulb? And it's 20. One to screw the light bulb in and 19 to talk about how they did it better the first time.
Nice.
All right. So one thing that I thought was interesting about your topic here is, like, when I was a kid, this is like pre-internet, you know, we were music fans on a level that I really don't see in my own kids and younger generations. They don't really kind of care about music in the same way that I did. And a lot of it was I got my politics and my news and my information from around the world from a lot of the punk bands and the bands that I listened to. And I think that that's like an interesting parallel with this ufology is that, and this paranormal is that people are having to dig deep and find these people and people like you to find this information from.
Yeah, no, that's, wow, I never really thought about that. That's a really interesting parallel because you're right. Before the days of the internet, you know, you kind of learn about all these bands, all these other bands, all these views, just kind of just from word of mouth and listening to music.
Yeah, and Holiday in Cambodia, I wouldn't have known anything about that if it wasn't for the Dead Kennedys, you know?
For the Dead Kennedys, yeah. And no, with ufology, you're right. A lot of it is DIY, do it yourself, in terms of, you know, investigating and reading different books. And even to this day, even in the age of the internet, with the study of UFOs, a lot of it's just kind of like, you know, meeting new people, talking to people. Yeah, ever since I wrote the book, you know, I've been involved in a lot of different Facebook groups and stuff, and with other authors and podcasters and other researchers, and you just kind of learn so much more. You know, like I always thought I knew a lot, and people are like, "Oh no, check out this book," or "If you heard about this case." So you know, you're constantly learning, and I think no matter what it is in life, you know, you're constantly learning, and you want to evolve and progress. It's just kind of like, you know, a lot of the early punk rock bands too, like the really good ones learned how to do that.
Right, and they also, you know, learned while playing. You know, most of us, when we had our first band practice, I think I had played bass guitar for a month or something.
Nice.
So, you know, how did you get started in wanting to be involved in UFOs? A lot of people, it's with a sighting, or in my case, I was just kind of into fiction, and I wanted to know if it came from reality. How did you get started?
So when I was a kid, my mom used to get me the Time Life. They would have a book series, and there'd be these really cool hardcover books, and every month there'd be a new topic. And one month was like the paranormal, the unexplained, the UFO phenomena, mysterious places, unknown creatures. Each month was something like that. And I remember like the stories in the books were great. It was all, you know, based on reports, and the artwork was really awesome. And as a kid, it just really stood out. And it really kind of sparked my imagination. I had a huge imagination as a kid. I read comic books and I watched horror movies. I was into all that stuff. So this was kind of really sparked my interest because it was something that seemed, you know, something that was more real. It wasn't fiction, but it wasn't fully explained either. So just the idea of just kind of this mythology and these reports, you know, through years really kind of sparked my interest. So, yeah, that kind of at an early age. And I never stopped, you know, believing in the stuff or, but I didn't start researching it until I got older. I had a few sightings myself, probably the most common one, which is a color orb in the sky.
Hmm.
And it was weird. Like, you know, a lot of people I've spoken to who are researchers or authors or in the subject, their interest was either ignited or reignited by a sighting. And it's almost like this weird feeling of like you kind of feel empowered to want to study this or write about it or something. And I really think, you know, it kind of a lot of the cases I read about people who've been abducted or visited and some of the things they discuss about through hypnosis when they learn about that they've been visited their whole life, they feel compelled to do something greater than themselves too. So I always feel like there's definitely a weird power there than the people who choose to research this stuff, you know, with the people who claim to be visited. So I think there's something to be said there about people who experience stuff or see stuff and people who are interested in this stuff and kind of where it goes from there.
Yeah, well, that was kind of Whitley Strieber's story, is that he was a science fiction author, and then he figured out that he was sort of drawn to being a science fiction author because he had been abducted throughout his life, and he finally sort of realized it and then wrote Communion.
Yeah, and it all made sense for him after that. Like he could tie so many of the strings together.
Yeah, I've had a lifelong interest in this too. I wonder if I've been abducted. I don't know.
I always wanted to do hypnosis just out of curiosity. I'm kind of scared with weird stuff.
I do. We've had a hypnotist who also did past life regression on the show, and it definitely piqued my interest. I'm just all like, oh man. Maybe I can do it, because I'm scared to get on stage. I don't want to make somebody make me quack like a chicken in front of my wife and kids, you know. I guess chickens don't quack, but.
Yeah.
So,
if you like communion, most recent book I read that talks about hypnosis in the past life, it's called Keepers of the Garden. It's an older book, but I never read it until recently. Just like I kind of talked about earlier, the older you get, the more you read on the subject, and that book kind of blew my mind.
Was it fiction or biographical?
No, it's nonfiction. It's based on a hypnosis case over this guy who was claimed to be visited and abducted his whole life, and basically it's nuts. It's like communion times 100, and like, I don't want to give away all of it, but the interesting thing is, for someone who had no previous interest in UFOs, when he goes under, everything that comes out is basically stuff that's been studied, explained, and debated throughout ufology through, for years. And it all ties together in a very, very odd way, where it's either like, wow, it's this can't be a coincidence, or if it is, it's too crazy.
Right.
So when I read that book, it really blew my mind. That was the last book I read recently on the subject. So like I said, I'm always trying to just continue to read more on this, because it's just kind of expand my mind.
So you obviously grew up, I'm guessing, as a fan of punk, and and then you had this interest. But what made you decide to put the two together? Did you just notice the parallels, or was there something that really kind of pulled the two together where it snapped and you said, hey, man, these really are parallel?
Well, that's a really good question. I can't think of the exact moment. I think when I first started writing the book, I don't even know if I had a title for it yet. I just started writing. The process of it, I would wake up in the morning, I would write, I'd do some research, I would go to the gym, run errands, come back, do some more research, write, and so forth. And that was kind of like a formula I did for a few weeks until the book was done. And I was just really deeply immersed in the project. And I think the title came up. Well, I was approaching it in the sense that cryptozoology was an undeveloped science. It's kind of like, screw you, this is what I believe, take it or leave it. And the idea from the book is kind of inspired by Greg Graffin from Bad Religion. He's an author as well. And his, he has a book called Anarchy, Evolution. All his books have kind of like a little nod to, his punk rock days too, as well, even though he's writing about these very deep scientific issues, and he's writing for an audience that isn't a punk rock audience, but the titles of the book still kind of are relatable, I guess, to Bad Religion fans. And the book title was very influenced by him. And I've interviewed Greg a few times, and the last time Bad Religion was in Houston, I was able to give him a copy of the book, saying, hey, you kind of inspired this title. So that was cool.
Awesome, yeah.
I have another thing about the similarities I've just been wondering about. It, in a lot of cases with ufologists, I notice that they do have kind of an antagonistic relationship with, like, mainstream news, which, makes sense because it doesn't accept them, but they've, obviously been doing tons of research on their own and so forth. I wonder if you see that kind of attitude in punk rockers towards, mainstream music, at least towards the beginning of the movement.
Well, let me kind of go back for a second. You bring up a good point about kind of the distrust in mainstream and mainstream media. I worked in the quote-unquote mainstream media for 7 years. I worked for a top four newspaper in the country as a journalist, so I kind of know how it works from the inside. And it's not like we're going to hide this UFO stuff. It's, everything's kind of driven by ratings and clicks and what people want to read. So usually that stuff, people are interested in it. And, it does well, but there's usually not a follow-up. I think that's the issue, is, there's usually not a follow-up story to it. The story kind of lives on a website or on the news for a day. People are like, oh, that's really cool. And then it kind of dies until something else comes up. And I think that's kind of the problem. Because if we're talking about North Korea is threatening to bomb us, that's going to be in the news for days. There will be a follow-up to that. So I think that's kind of where a lot of the the ability to not really trust kind of the mainstream, I think that kind of where that comes from in ufology, But in terms of the of them being like antagonists, I notice a lot of it's towards each other in ufology. I think it's good.
Sorry, Mike, let me cut you off there. We're running right up on the commercial break. We'll pick this up when we come back. We're listening to Radio Wasteland.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Steck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Happy New Year from the McConnell Foundation. Our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. There's an African proverb that goes, "To go fast, go alone. To go far, go together." We look forward to going far in 2018 with our community partners in projects and programs in the areas of community vitality, education, trails, and open space. Our future is bright together. Let's get started.
This is Ted Lighty with Northern Firearms Instruction, letting you know that you no longer have to make an appointment to renew your California CCW permit. Simply navigate to readingccw.com and select a renewal class to attend. While you're there, download the renewal application and fill it out. 4 weeks from your expiration date, send in your application and your training certificate. For any questions, give me a call, 530-999-1822, or visit us online at readingccw.com. This is Ted Lighty, and I'll see you at the range.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Hello, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460, streaming live in the chat room at kcnr1460.com, weekdays from 7 to 9. Tuesday, we welcome retired State Senator Maurice Johannesson, commenting on his recent donation to create an animal sanctuary at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Also, we have officials from Turtle Bay with an update on their programs and events. Your calls and comments always welcome at your town hall of the Shasta County Airwaves, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
I'm building a land there for UFOs. Putting it in my front yard, cause that's where they go.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We are listening to our guest, Mike DeMonte, the author of Punk Rock and UFOs. You know, in the last segment, I really like what you had to say about Bad Religion, because my friends and I, from growing up, we always kind of joke about the fact that we probably have massively larger vocabularies than we would have had we not listened to Bad Religion. Because we'd constantly look through the lyrics and have to look them up in a dictionary to see what he was even talking about.
I thought that was the coolest thing about that band, that they're like, hey, it's okay to be smart. You know, like punk rock and music in general doesn't have to be dumbed down.
Right, yeah.
I thought that was the coolest thing about them, is that, you know, they were writing these really fast songs, but at the same time, the lyrics were kind of years ahead of everyone else, every other band.
Oh,
even
without
this day,
that,
I mean, the subjects that they write about to this day are it's not the usual, like, you know, everything sucks. You know, it's more tiered than that. It's a lot deeper.
Yeah, and there's a lot of musical comparisons out there to them, but not a lot of lyrical ones, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know? Even the closest, you know, bands like Propaganda or something, you know, you're still not really coming anywhere near what Bad Religion was doing. Yeah.
For sure, yeah. That's actually, Propaganda is probably a really good comparison.
Yeah.
They're probably the closest ones to that. Yeah, it's good.
So before the break, you were talking about how the media sort of threw
you know, because everybody's always talking about how the media is like leftist or rightist, but I kind of have this view that the media is purely sensationalist and that they're really sort of based off of money. And that's kind of what you're telling us, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I still think they're trying to do, you know, the right job, and, you know, good journalists should be watchdogs rather than lapdogs. But at the same time, though, you know, it's a business and everything has to be for profit. So a lot of things are generated via ad revenue with sales, with clicks, et cetera. So the more sensationalized stories obviously get played up more.
Right.
I mean, there are things that's always going to be, you know, front page news regardless. But just in general, you know, what's kind of dominating the conversation is going to be the top story. So for, like you were saying earlier, for the, you know, the UFO stuff recently kind of creeping into the mainstream news like that, but I think that says a lot.
Yeah, it does. It does. So you wrote a book called Punk Rock and UFOs, so I'm sure you've been asked this question a lot because of the title. Maybe you're sick of being asked it. I don't know, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What do you think of Tom DeLonge?
I mean, I'm a big fan of Tom's from, you know, back in the days of Blink, and I've interviewed and met Tom before. Unfortunately, I never talked to him about aliens. It's always about music.
So this aliens thing was latter for him, for you running into him at least.
Well, he was always into it, but every time I interviewed him when, like, Blink was doing the reunion tour, so it was obviously, you know, all the questions were kind of geared towards that. I interviewed him backstage at an Angels and Airwaves show, and that was kind of more of like a fanboy interview thing, and so I never really, you know, got to talk to him about that subject specifically. It was all usually music related when I previously interviewed him, or one time it was a conference call with him and Mark, and it was right when they had the new record coming out. So I never really had the opportunity to talk to him about that topic specifically. But I think the To the Stars Academy thing, I think it's interesting. I'm not a big fan of the investment, quote-unquote investment aspect of it. I think it's more of a donation. But he did come through on this footage, and the people he has working on that team is, I mean, they're credible. I think he doesn't have as much control over this as people think. You know, he's being managed by someone. So I think it's interesting that people were shitting on him for years, well, for the past year, because, you know, leading up to this, because I think the people in ufology are kind of used to hearing all these promises, you know, of disclosure and, oh, you know, we're going to do this, and then, you know, doesn't really meet the expectations. But he came through with the footage. He said he was going to have it, and they came through with it. So that's a start.
Yeah, he seems to be a very polarizing figure. It seems like a lot of people are like, he's not nuts and bolts enough. And then a lot of people, you know, there's something about these underground paranormal topics that have tied themselves a little bit to the right politically, which, I mean, I don't got any problem with. I don't care. But I think that there is some sort of opposition to him on that angle. I also think that there's an opposition to him for the nuts and bolts, because definitely in the beginning, before the Academy thing, people were saying that he was just kind of throwing out tidbits without backing him up, and that's why you're saying that he actually produced the video. Or
I think just this with promotion wise. I mean, even when he was doing Blink and Asian Airwaves, he was always very, you know, he always hyped stuff up, but he was very sloppy about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on his social media, like, he would post like these hoax photos, and like, he should know better than this because he's been studying this stuff for years. Like he knows this stuff, so I think he's just I think he needs people to manage him in a sense to kind of avoid that stuff from happening. But yeah, he's definitely polarizing the UFO field just because they think, oh, here's some other rich guy trying to make a profit. But they understand is he doesn't need the money. You know, he's set for life, so
He's
not doing it for the money. He's doing it because he's passionate about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The question is how much control he actually has over any of it.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, what's next for you? You know, you wrote the book. Are you working on something new?
Yeah, well, I have the website too, punkrockandufos.com, which I kind of, I like to kind of feature people in the field as well, kind of so you can learn about the people, you know, who are researching this stuff, and I like to report on sightings, and the website's just an extension of that, it's kind of another outlet of that. Punk Rock and UFOs 2 is pretty much done. I'm trying to find a home for it. I've been shopping it to a few places. It's exponentially better than the first one, I think. And then I have a few fiction things that are in the works as well, too. But right now, I'm 2018, I'm concentrating on Punk Rock and UFOs 2, which is tentatively titled, you guys will like this, True Believers, which is a play off the Bouncing Soul song.
Awesome.
So, yeah, there's, like I said, I'm just trying to find a home for it. And this one was just, it's better because thematically it's more broader. It's more researched. It's less theory-based and more... The book is more of a call to arms for people to kind of get interested in this stuff and why they should. That's what the second book's about.
Yeah, the last one was a little more of a sociological study, a sociological...
Yeah, that's actually a great way to put it. I'm stealing that from now. I'm going to steal that from you.
Okay. Awesome. So while we're on the topic, how can our listeners find out more about you?
PunkRockUFOs.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at Mike DeMonte. But the website, punkrockinfos.com. I usually try to do stories about once or twice a week. I do book reviews as well on there. The website was just kind of the next logical extension after the book, because I still wanted to kind of write and research about this stuff and, you know, do something that was more timely as well. I just like to write in general. I teach full time now. I don't work at a newspaper anymore. But I still like to have that outlet to write as well. So the website kind of provides that for me, and to still do research and write stories and look up stuff and investigate. So punkrockingufos.com is the place to be.
Is the place to be. All right. We'll be sure to share that around. And so we got a few more minutes before the show is over. So I got to ask you, what's your favorite punk band?
Oh, man. See, this is going to be probably the most unpopular punk rock
answer. Listen, you can't call your book that without answering this question, man.
That's true. I'll give you my top three bands.
All right.
And you'll probably debate me on some of them, but that's fine. Blink-182, Alkaline Trio, and Bad Religion.
All right. You're a 90s guy.
I'm a 90s guy. I'm a 90s guy in every sense of the word.
Yeah, I'm definitely like a 70s, early 80s punk. But I definitely, you know, have some of my 90s weaknesses. I was like in high school in the 90s, so that, like, a lot of the stuff that was big at the time is what I was rebelling against.
Nice. It's funny, like, you know, it's very sick. It's almost like a cycle. You know, the stuff that people would rebel against then, you look back and it's like, wow, that's actually not too bad compared to the stuff now and so forth, you know. You look back and you're like, actually, Green Day and Blink were pretty good. You know, you compare them to, like, Fallout Boy or something.
Yeah.
But it's like very, like, you know, yeah, if you go back in time, too, even the bands in the 80s, people were probably talking bad about NoFX and bands like that.
Totally.
And now they're kind of like one of the greatest bands of that genre.
You know, I think Green Day is a prime example, because they would all, like, go off about how Green Day sold out. And then I got older and looked back at it, and musically, there's not a big difference between their first album and their sixth album, frankly.
Yeah.
You know.
Basically, they're still playing the same chords.
Well, to bring it back to Bad Religion, it's like, if you like one of their songs, you like all of them.
Yeah.
You know, musically, it's like pretty cut and dry. They got a formula and it works. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for being on the show, Mike. Check out punkrockandufos.com. You've been listening to Mike DeMonte here on Radio Wasteland.
Leaving without going, I need some place. The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. One man has been found safe from the four people still reported as missing in the mudslides that slammed into the Montecito, Santa Barbara area January 9th. Santa Barbara County Sheriff spokeswoman Kelly Hoover says John Jack Keating was located in Ventura with his dog Tiny. Hoover says Keating, a transient, was not in Montecito during the January 9th storm as feared. President and Mrs. Trump are extending their sympathies to the families affected by the mudslides in Montecito.
The White House issued a statement saying the president and